I am excited tonight to preach. I love preaching. Man, I love to preach. I love to hear preaching. I love to sit through preaching. I love to do all those things that preachers love to do, but most things that preachers love to do the most is to preach. So I will say that I'm excited about preaching tonight. I don't have very good luck with this. I think John hates me, but we're going to try it again anyhow. One of these days, maybe I'll pay John enough to start liking me. Turn your Bibles to Ezra, please. Ezra. The overcrowded church, while you're turning to Ezra, 2,000-member Baptist church was filled to overflowing capacity one Sunday morning. The preacher was ready to start the sermon when two men dressed in long black coats and black hats entered through the rear of the church. One of the two men walked to the middle of the church while the other stayed at the back of the church. They both then reached under their coats and withdrew automatic weapons. The one in the middle announced, "Everyone willing to take a bullet for Jesus, stay in your seats." Naturally, the pews emptied, followed by the choir. The deacons ran out the door, followed by the choir director and the assistant pastor. After a few moments, there were about 20 people left sitting in the church. The preacher was holding steady in the pulpit. The men put their weapons away and said gently to the preacher, "All right, pastor, the hypocrites are gone now. You may begin the service." What? Nice. Nice. Amen. Ezra, did we find it yet?
Yeah.
Ezra chapter 1. You having a hard time finding? It's right next to Ezra chapter 2. Let's all stand as we read Ezra chapter 1 in verse 3. I'm excited about this.
Right after
2
Chronicles.
It's on page 566.
Yeah.
Amen. Hopefully the page numbers aren't inspired. Amen. All right, number 3, verse number 3. "Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, help us to understand that our foundation has been laid. Help us to understand that we are the people that should be building his house. Lord, help us to move forward for you as Christians. We're in a world today, Lord, that needs us and needs you more than ever. Lord, help us. Help us to not sit on our laurels. Help us to not sit on the truth that we've been given. Lord, help us to go out. Go out and tell people. Go out and tell people about that precious gift that you've given us, so that they may take it too. Lord, help me to decrease to nothing tonight, and help you to increase to everything through this message. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at the first verse, the Bible says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." A very, very important job the Lord gave Cyrus, to build the house of God. In your lives today, how many of you can say amen that you're saved?
Amen.
Man, that was pretty weak. Folks, this is an independent fundamental Baptist church. We put the fun and the mental in fundamental. Yeah. So let me ask you a question. How many are glad they're saved tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
That's pretty good stuff.
Amen.
If you're saved in here tonight, the Lord has made residence inside of you. Now, he's done that specifically because you are the people that he has called. Because to be saved, you must be called. So if you're called and you're saved tonight, then you are supposed to be that building, that temple of the Holy Ghost. Who is there among you that's willing to continue to build your home? Who is there among you that is willing to do things for God? Look at Ezra chapter 3. after much work to set up the priesthood and to discern who would go and to collect money and materials, Ezra chapter 3, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord." They decided to get something moving again. "Then stood Joshua with his sons and his brethren Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites." Now listen to me. "When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to do what? To praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel." Let me ask you a question. Who is there among you that has set his heart on the things of God tonight? Who is there among you that is willing to set your heart on the things of God? There's a job that's been put before Bethel Baptist Church, a job that's been put before every Christian tonight. There's a job that we have to do, and that job is to go forward for God. We live in a day and age where it's not very nice to go forward for God. It's not very status quo to go forward for God. But understand this, you are all he's got left. Now, the preacher talked this morning about the Lord coming back, and I'm excited about the Lord coming back. But can I ask you a question tonight, Christian? Are you truly ready for him to come back? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't believe the vast majority of us in this room are ready. Right. And ready, what I mean is this. Have you talked to that loved one about Christ? Right. Because when the rapture happens, will you catch yourself looking back? When the rapture happens, will we catch ourselves with tears looking back at the loved ones that we're leaving behind? Because we did nothing. The Lord has set up residence inside of our bodies. He set up residence. He's laid a foundation for us. We should be singing and praising God, building our home for him. Now understand this. That foundation was so beautiful for some of the folks to see. And I got news for you. It does my heart good, and any Baptist preacher will agree. It does my heart wonderful to see somebody sell out for God. In a day and age where selling out is not happening anymore. In a day and age when we're not giving what we've got to God because something in the church house bothers us. Something that's happened in our world bothers us and we can't go on for God anymore. That's not building your home. That's putting a red tag on the outside and holding up the job. God did not ask us to serve him when it was comfortable. God did not ask us to serve him when it was convenient for us to do so. God did not ask him to serve us when we've got the time. God asked us to serve him. Amen. And that's the end of the story. Who is there among you tonight? Who is there among you that sits in this room tonight that literally will not serve God because of something? Does it really matter what it is? Does it really matter what it is that you're not serving God for? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I can't think of a reason enough to not serve God. I can't think of a reason enough to stop praising God. I can't think of a reason enough to stop getting excited about what God has done for you. It's amazing how Christians day after day, and I'm going to be honest with you, there's been lots of days that I've gone through that I felt depressed or discouraged and I just didn't want to go on. And any Christian should know that there are going to be times of up and times of down. But during the times of down, when you just can't get any lower, did you stop praising God? When you can't go any further down, did you decide that this is the time when God has pushed me too far? Because I'm going to be honest with you, the Lord says there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And he gives you a way when you can't bear it. He gives you a way to escape. There's nothing that God has gone through. There's nothing that you have gone through that God has not gone through himself. And he knows what you can take. It's amazing at Christians what we can take. Amen. It's amazing what we can go through. The problem is we stop building too soon. We decide in our lives that this is enough, and I'm just not going to serve God anymore. We don't start out that way. We don't start out thinking that there's going to be something that comes up. What happens is this. We become tolerant of our own selves. That's good. I should write that down. We become tolerant of our own selves. We have no problem missing a Wednesday night. And we become tolerant of the Wednesday nights. The preacher was happy to see me on Sunday. He doesn't need to see me on Wednesday. But here's the problem. If you're worried about the preacher being excited to see you, you're not in church for the right reason, Christian.
Amen.
Because I got news for you. The reason that I go to church is because Christ kept marching the hill for me, and he kept walking all the way to Calvary when the blood was flowing down, and all he could do is walk and walk and walk, and he had to go for me. That's why I go to church.
Amen.
When the Bible says in Romans, that the whole world is guilty.
Yes.
Every mouth is stopped.
Yep.
Christian, your home needs to be built. Your foundation needs to be laid. Understand this. If you've been saved today, and we'll go through this here in a second, but I was really excited about this. I was excited only because, I don't like to be, I'm the associate pastor here. I'm not necessarily one that likes to come and step on toes, but if you'd all line up and put your feet out down the middle aisle, I promise you I'll run all over you tonight. But know this, while I'm running over you, my feet are both there too.
Yeah, right.
And what you've got to understand is this, there's times, I'll never forget, preacher asked me the first time to preach to jail ministry. And man, I did not want to go. I did not. Well, you're a preacher. You should always want to go. You're a Christian. You should always want to go too.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I'll go. Not because I was being obedient, it's because he would hit me. So I go to preach and I said, Lord, I'll go. But I know it's not going to be good like Dad had it. I went in defeated. My foundation crumbling. Because I added myself into the equation.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And I get to the jail and I see the first fellow walk in, and I wasn't too afraid of him. Because I was just instructed the week before that they had to cut back from 5 to 2 because of a hostage situation was possible. I don't even consider myself tough. I don't think a room of convicts is who I'm going to beat. The next few gentlemen walk in and I see their faces. And I said to myself, man, this could be scary. I'm being honest with you. And my foundation continued to crumble. And I got behind the pulpit and I started to sing. And I felt an amazing thing. And it's not about the feeling. It's about the calmness that the Lord gave me at that time, saying, I'll take care of you, you sorry thing. Hey, he calls me sorry thing all the time. I'm beginning to think that's my name. And we got through the first song, and I had a fellow raise his hand and said, can we sing Amazing Grace? Oh, that's the same thing my heart did too. And we got excited, and I sang that song. And then they went in and said, can we sing this one? Next thing you know, we've got all request night. And then I started to preach. I only prepared 25 minutes worth. I figured that's all they could take. I said, these people aren't going to want to listen to Baptist preachers. Our church doesn't want to listen to Baptist preachers. How in the world is jail people going to listen to Baptist preachers? You laugh. Wait till I get to the punchline here. So I got through 25 minutes worth of preaching, and we prayed. And over 20 hands went up for salvation. And to hear, and please, you know it's not because of me. I didn't want to be there. And all these hands go up for salvation, and I got a little excited. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. 25 men praying in unison out loud.
Yes.
You won't even say amen out loud. And these men praying gave me chills.
Yep.
And I said, would we like to have testimony time? Maybe sing a couple more songs. And a fellow raised his hands, one of the gnarliest looking fellas in there. Hey, you laugh. They're gnarly in there. They need Jesus. And he raised his hands. I said, yes. He said, well, we'll sing, but boy, we sure would like to hear more about Jesus.
Amen.
I didn't want to go. And they asked me to preach twice.
Now I want
to let you in on a little secret. Baptist preachers sometimes go through this, doing things that they don't want to do. I'm glad you never fall into the category of doing things that you don't want to do for Christ. Amen. I'm thankful, preacher, that we're the only ones that are susceptible to not wanting to do things for God. But it's amazing how God did this. Can I show you something? And they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good. This is Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now, I know I'm taking this on a spiritual side, and we could talk about our church building. Listen, the preacher has told us before, if we can just get our foundation laid, we'll go forward. I know many of you can't see the vision. You can't see the vision of just the foundation being laid and something great happening. But understand this, in Ezra, all they talked about was laying the foundation. They'd laid the foundation, and all of a sudden, people started praising God. Now, they did not have all the money in this book, preacher. They had no money, but understand this. What's amazing is the king always ended up supplying the funds from there on out. They laid the foundation, and the king made sure that they got the rest. Well, we can't afford it, Bethel Baptist Church. Man, we can't afford a $25 anything right now. We talk in millions like we've got it. But my Savior does have it. And I could talk about that here. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. What I want to talk about is your foundation has been laid. If you're a saved person, you've got a foundation laid. And if you look at these verses, many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house. Listen to me now. I want you to listen. This is a spiritual application. When you first got saved, They had seen the first house when the foundations of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. Many of you that's been saved for years ought to be weeping over your souls right now.
Yeah.
Well, you ought not hit on the people that have been saved for a long time, preacher. Let me explain something to you. I've been saved since I was 11 years old. I consider myself to be saved a while now. And there are still days when I will not go forward for God. There are still days that I come along. And when the foundation gets laid and I get back to what I'm doing, it's amazing how you feel. It's a thing inside of you that says, man, I want to cry, but I want to shout. I want to get excited, but I want to weep. And these men, look at what they're doing here. They saw the chief men, the ancient men, had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Man, they were so excited. Can you imagine the emotion over one that would come back? Can you imagine the emotions of one that would kick themselves back into gear for God again? Can you imagine the emotion over somebody that decided, I'm going to do something great for God no matter what anybody else says? Because I got news for you. In this day and age, people do not want you to serve God anymore. Here's what's sad. People in your own church don't want you to serve God anymore. Fit in with the status quo. Let the preacher and Brother Dave and Brother Mark and Brother Rod the evangelist, let them do all the work here. God did not call us to do all the work. God called all of us to do all the work. And what we've got to understand is this. You say to yourselves in your hearts, there's nothing I can do. Do you realize that's exactly what the devil wants you to feel? Because what you have then is this. How many have ever seen an old barn or an old house that all that's left is the foundation?
Yeah.
Once was a beautiful home. Once was a functional barn, storehouse. Once was a place of great beauty. But now all that's left is stone upon stone. What you got to understand, Christian, is who is there among you Who is there among you that has set his heart on the things of God? Who is there among you, number two, that has given his heart to the work of God? Who is there among you that is willing to donate your life to God? I'm not talking leaving your jobs. I'm talking about changing your mind. Changing your mind towards the things of God, that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're thinking about serving our Savior. Who is there among you? Who is there among you that will not be satisfied to go through life with no miracles? Well, you got to grab a hold of this, Christian. Because the last time I checked, preacher, the Lord our God is still mighty. Amen. The last time I checked, Jesus Christ is still saving souls today. Right. Matter of fact, today he saved a soul. Wanda got baptized, was obedient to God, and because of that, her grandson came to watch, and because of that, he came and got saved. Glory to God. So Jesus Christ is still powerful. Are you willing, Christian? Are you willing to go through life never seeing God do anything? I love how quiet it is in here tonight. Because I'm not laying an egg right now.
No, you're not.
Let me explain something to you. I'm not willing, Brother Carl, to be a halfway preacher.
Amen.
I'm not willing to go through life being just the normal guy. Amen. I'm not willing. I have got to have God's power. Got to have it. I'm not talking about this charismatic, touchy-feely, fuzzy-wuzzy. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen with a bad mullet and big offering buckets. I'm not talking about him. I want God to work through my life. Not because of me, not because to be impressive. I want God to work through me because I know I'm nothing. I want God to work through me because I know I'm just that old foundation with nothing built on it. I know that. And when people see me, I want them to see the Christ who works through me. I'm not willing to go through life with no miracles, Cotiver. Not willing. Question you have to ask yourself, Christian. When is the last time you saw one? When is the last time you saw a miracle? When is the last time you saw God's hand and you knew it was God's hand? When is the last time? Are you willing to go another day without asking God for the impossible? Are you willing to go another moment without begging Christ, imploring Him, beseeching Him, please God, do a miracle through me? But you say, I can't. You say, He would never do that through me. It took great men to have miracles done through them. I submit to you, it took common men that had faith in God and were willing and, in fact, demanding in their lives to see great miracles. I would to God, some of you in this church have the greatest work ethic I've ever seen, ever. Work, work, work. I would to God you'd put that to use for Him.
Yeah.
I know that's stepping on some of you. But please understand this. Don't serve man more than you serve God. Why in the world? Why, and I don't want you to go out losing your job, but I want you to do this. I want you to go out realizing that with you goes Christ. Amen. Where you go, you take Christ. Don't come in here and talk about honesty and cheat people out in the world.
Yeah.
Don't come in here and talk about being Christian, yet when you go to work, you're flim-flam filth all day long. Don't, when you leave this place, expect miracles through your life. I'm not talking about the cheesy ones. I'm talking about doing something for God. Hey, let me tell you something right now. A great miracle was wrought through Wanda when she got baptized and her grandson came. If you don't think that's a miracle, man, get your miracleizer checked.
Amen.
It was a miracle. And hey, I love to go back to past victories, but understand this. You can't live in past victories. But I love going back to past victories. Hey, David hauled Goliath's armor around just to remember what he did, what God did. Hey, let me tell you. This preacher starting a church down on Galena Street was a miracle for me. for me.
Right.
Why? Because I was a little boy brought to church by my aunt and uncle one time. And in front of an old green register, I paid $110.
Amen.
Went upstairs in the children's church, 11 years old.
Yeah.
I went upstairs and Ron Brown said, "You're going to go to hell unless you get saved," to little kids. Let me tell you something. Little kids can understand. You better talk about hell.
Yeah, boy.
And I prayed right there, "Lord, you better save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. I'm scared out of my mind." You
Amen.
Ought to be scared of hell.
Good.
And I got saved that day.
Hallelujah.
What a miracle.
Amen.
And that miracle is in the past. The question then comes, would we recognize a miracle if it came? Because our blinders are so focused on the TV set and the radio and everything. You understand this. More than like 95% of the people on the TV are lying to you. 95% of the people on the radio are lying to you. Would you recognize a miracle if it came? Would you know what it looked like? Do you expect to see the big ones with the fireworks? Or would you be happy with the small miracle? Would you be happy to see one little miracle done? See, I believe a miracle is Cotyver being in our church.
Yeah.
That's a miracle to me. Yeah. I believe a miracle is Coolidge Greer and Robin being in our church. That's a miracle. I believe the Freimeyers all the way from the Azores.
Yeah.
Hey, God does bad miracles too, amen?
Amen.
They saw the foundations of the people being laid again. They saw the foundations of the people getting excited about God again. And in verse 13 it says, the noise was so loud that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout and the noise was heard afar off. I would to God that we'd get so excited about Bethel Baptist Church that the noise would be heard afar off. That no matter where we went, I'm telling you, it doesn't take long to go somewhere where, hey, when are you going to build next? How many have ever heard that? Everywhere you go, hey, aren't you the preacher? Yeah. Hey, you built yet? Have you gone by lately? There's no building there. Can I ask you something? What are you going to feel like when the foundation goes in?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to preach about this, but this fits well. What are you going to feel like when the foundation goes in for our new church? And I'll be weeping. I will be weeping because there's times I didn't think it was going to get done. There's times in your life that you've doubted God. The question is, are you willing to have faith enough to see the foundation laid? Are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice of your own life? Because you're not willing to take one more step without begging God to do something great. When you go out soul winning, do you pray, "God, please send somebody my way today"? Now you might say, "Well, Brother Dave, I pray that every Saturday." Saturday's not your only day of soul winning, folks. We get all wrapped up and, "Well, I came Saturday, that's enough." Well, then you came on Saturday to show off to people. I came on Saturday and I was here. I want to let you know I was here. Why are you going to let me know that you were here? God saw that you were here. What do I need to know? Understand this, wherever you go, there you are.
Amen.
That's profound. I'm going to write that in the leaf of my Bible. Wherever you go, there you are. If you're a light for Christ, should you be shining no matter where you are? And if there's somebody in front of you, I wonder if they know about God. I wonder if they know about Christ. I wonder if you could just slip them a track real quick. I wonder. Are you willing to take another step without seeing a miracle? Well, Brother Dave, miracles just don't happen that often. That's because you stand still, dummy. Hey, listen. We have an almighty, powerful God. And he desires to do great and wonderful things. The problem with this world, and not our church, because our church is excitable. But the problem that happens, Christian, in your life, and individually, you got to look at this individually. The problem that happens is we get complacent with the mundane. We don't have any problem sitting around daring God to bless us instead of begging God to bless us. You got to ask yourself, when's the last time you told somebody about Christ? Now, hey, a salvation is a miracle. Somebody getting saved is a miracle.
Yeah.
When's the last time you told, I didn't say one somebody, when's the last time you told somebody? The foundation has been laid. New folks were shouting because of the miracle that they had witnessed. They were excited. They were enjoying serving God. Notice, the old folks wept and shouted. Why? They maybe had thought they had seen their last miracle. Anybody ever feel like I've seen my last one? They thought they had seen their last miracle. Maybe God wouldn't have any more miracles for them. What a great victory. What a fabulous time. And then, in the midst of finding the foundation, in the midst of starting to build the home, in the midst of enjoying Christian life, look at Ezra 4:13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt and damage the revenue of the kings. If the church is built, they're not going to pay taxes to the world. And look at verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God. Then ceased the work. Because somebody complained. You're a Christian. This is good stuff. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. You're a Christian. The devil knows that if you get your walls built and you get yourself under roof, that you're going to be formidable against the world. The devil knows that. And so what he does, he tells you this. Well, glory to God, if you get your walls built and you get under roof, you're not going to be any use to me anymore. Any use to the devil. So the devil does this. He says to you, well, if you become a Christian, you start serving God, you won't be able to laugh at dirty jokes anymore. If you become a Christian, you start serving God, you won't be able to drink liquor anymore. If you become a Christian and start serving God, you won't be able to swear anymore. Are you willing to give up what the world has to offer to go toward what God has to offer? Because you cannot partake of both. Hey, now listen. I understand God is willing to forgive. But I just wonder if the reason we're not seeing great things done for God is because we're not willing to totally break free of what the world has. And when you totally don't break free, did you see what happened? The work of God ceased. It didn't just delay. It stopped. One thing I hate is a fake person. I'm going to make that statement again because some of you need to hear this. One thing I hate is a fake person.
Yes.
A person that comes to church displaying a form of Christianity but really doesn't have any.
Right.
And what's amazing is it seems like those people are so wonderful that we hold them up immediately.
Right.
Immediately. Oh, bless God, they're so wonderful. So tremendous. They show so well for God. But in their hearts, as soon as they walk out the door, they lose all their Christianity and go right back to the world. Understand this. The work of God ceased long before they came here to grab glory. What we've got to come to grips with here is unless you start serving, and let me tell you something. God has given you all the materials to build your home. Given it to you. But how many of us have a construction site that's undone? A bunk of 2x4s laying over here that's not broken. Your trusses are over here that are still banded. And you've got everything just laying around. A foundation's beautiful, laying there waiting to be built. But no one shows up to the site. The enemy came in and said, listen, if they get it built, they're not going to do what the world wants them to do anymore. And then ceased the work of the house of God. And in chapter 5, in chapter 5, let me stop there for a minute. We don't have anywhere else to go. Super Bowl's over with. Pittsburgh won, by the way. A lot of Cleveland fans in here. When you battle as a Christian, and you need to be helped with this because this happens a lot to Christians. If you lose a battle as a Christian, if you lose a battle, don't stop fighting. See, because what happens a lot of times is we fight a battle as a Christian and then all of a sudden we give up. Well, I lost this battle. I said a bad word. I lost this battle. I smoked a cigarette. I lost this battle. I drank a beer. I don't expect any of you to go out and do those things, but understand this. If you do fall into that temptation, understand that don't stop fighting because you lost one battle. If any of us would be truthful, we've fought many battles in our life and lost many. But the ones that end up winning the war, Brother Rod, are the ones that keep on fighting. What happens is this. You feel as a Christian that you're not good enough. And if you look in the mirror, you're not. Hey, that's the truth. We're not good enough. But the God that took up residence inside of you is good enough. And if we'll realize that the battle that we fight in the flesh against the flesh and the spirit just battling, that battle, you cannot cease to fight. What happens is it no longer becomes a worthy battle for you. You decide that you're not going to fight because it's too hard. I hear all the time, get saved, it's a bed of roses. Roll around in a bed of roses, is that fun? Seriously, let it be a bed of roses. Roll around in them babies for a while. Do you think that's fun? Have you ever slept on a rose? I never have, but I got to believe it's thorny. The Christian life is a battlefield. The Christian life is a battlefield that you will fight and you will win. And you will fight and you will lose. And as you continue to fight, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose, but then you'll get in a win. And then you'll get in a loss. And then you'll get in a win. And then you'll get in a win. And then you'll get in a loss. And then you'll win three times in a row. And after a while, a Christian starts to win more than he loses, and he's excited. But what happens is we don't exercise ourselves enough, Brother Mike, to ever get to the point where we start to win battles. We decide that we fought one, that's enough. But you know what? If it wasn't for my preacher fighting the battle of putting a church down on Galena Street, I don't get saved. I'm thankful he continued to fight. The question you've got to ask yourself is the person that you're fighting for with your prayers. The person that you're fighting for, and I've got people in my life right now that I'm fighting for, praying for them every single day. I pray for them because I want them to win the battle that they're in. Too often as Christians, we can't wait to cut the legs out from people. You're in the middle of a battle. You're stupid, Christian. Get the legs right off. They aren't worth being here. You know what's funny? None of us are worth being here. And take that in a pipe and smoke it. Don't smoke, though. That's a battle. Don't lose that one. But as a Christian, when you fight, understand that you will lose. But you'll also win. And in this life, I can't wait to get to heaven when the sting of losing is gone. I was thinking about that the other day. You get such great victories. And the victories are so great. The victories are so tremendous. The victories are so wonderful. And the reason that they're so wonderful is because you remember the losses. I remember losing lots of times. I remember losing over and over again in my life. But then I remember winning. And the winning was so great. And you're so excited because I won. Woo-hoo! And then you lose one. Oh, man, that stinks. And then you win one. Woo! In heaven, Do you know God's going to have to retrain your brain? Because think about it. If it was all good all the time while we're here, where would the fun be? Seriously. If it was all good all the time, you wouldn't know how good is. Seriously, think about that for a minute. That's not deep philosophy. I'm real deep, like the kiddie pool. But when you get to heaven, God's going to make the winning wonderful. And the winning is going to be so wonderful, you won't even recall what losing is like. But it's still going to be wonderful. You say, how? I don't know. But it's going to be so great to not have to fight, because the fight's going to be over. But until then, Christian, we have a battle. Don't drop out. Don't quit the battle. The foundation has been laid. It's not going to be easy to build your home. Who is there among you that will not give up on your house for God? Look at chapter 6, starting in verse 4. Finally, the call came back to start up the temple again. And in verse 4, the Bible says, with three rows of great stones, a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house. Amen. Christ paid it all. No matter what you need, no matter what materials are laying in front of you that you need, just call on God. He's got a great supply. Just keep fighting, because all the materials are paid for. Look at verse 7. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree that ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, not of your goods. But you know, I don't bring any money to this battle. The Lord has provided it all. And in verse 9 it says, And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. Man, every day that you're in a battle, every day you need something from God, it's there. Every day, all you got to do, it's like going to the Home Depot with a wide open credit card that you never have to pay back. Man, how much money would we make then in the construction field? The materials are already there. Just claim them. Look at verse 14. And the elders of the Jews builded. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. The preachers were preaching. Amen? The preachers were preaching. And because they were preaching, they prospered. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished. While we're here, your house may not get completed. It may not. But understand this. The Lord has begun a good work in you. The Lord has begun a good work in you. And the Bible says he will be faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Now listen to me. The Lord never guaranteed easiness in this life. He never guaranteed simplicity as a Christian. He guaranteed suffering. He guaranteed heartache. But what's fantastic about our Lord is he is willing to take us all the way through the project. He is willing, as long as you'll stay with him, he is willing to take us all the way through the project. One of the hardest things as a construction worker, one of the hardest things you go through is finishing the project. Starting is easy. Getting through the rough framing and putting on the electricity and putting on the plumbing and putting on the drywall seems to go flying right by. But it's always finishing that's the problem. It's always getting it drywall mudded and painted and sanded and all those other things that you have to do, and carpet and the fixtures and all those things. And boy, it really drags on at the end. It's a battle. And we may be rough
around here in this church. We may be people that maybe are the rougher kind. But can I submit something to you tonight, Christian? You're the kind that my Lord likes to get. You're the kind that my Lord likes to finish. You may not be a two-story beautiful mansion home, but I got news for you. God likes the single-family dwellings, and I'd just rather be an efficiency apartment for my God than be a two-story mansion for the world. Amen. Your foundation has been laid, Christian. Your foundation is there. Don't let it stop there. Amen. He desires to have you because you are His workmanship.
Amen.
You are somebody that He can use. Brother Dave, I don't understand. Don't understand it. Don't worry about it. Just serve Him.
Amen.
We've got a battle that's in front of us right now. A battle for lost souls. And it's never been harder to fight than it is right now. And it's not because we're... Hey, listen, back in the persecution days when people were suffering persecution, that must have been very hard. But it's not the same. The thing today is nobody will hear. Nobody will listen. You might walk out of here today and say, I heard what Brother Dave said, but I just don't put any stock in it. You may walk out of here today hearing this message and think, I just don't want to sacrifice my life for God. I feel sorry for you. Because you sacrifice your life for God, you see wonderful, wonderful miracles. Miracles that you can't explain. Well, Brother Dave, is there going to be some hard times? Yeah, there's going to be some very hard times. God never promised all easy. But I'm so thankful He promised to finish the work. He promised to supply all my need. He promised to lay the foundation with the great timbers and the big blocks so that my foundation should never be shaken as long as it's in Him. And that material that supplied, Jesus was a carpenter. He probably built pretty good homes. He was God.
Amen.
Probably square and plumb all the way through. And He is faithful to complete the work in you. If you're a senior saint here, you've been saved for a long time, listen to me. It might be time for some home repair. It might be time to get back serving God again. Because you think that you might be washed up. He says you need to get washed up for me. You need to get yourself cleaned up, and you need to start serving me again. Don't let the light go out. We serve in a time when not one person is excused from service of God. Not one. Not one. There's nobody that's excused. You need to serve God. You need to take the talents that God has given you, and you need to serve Him with all your heart.
Amen.
Your foundation has been laid. Will you be willing to see miracles done? Will you be willing to set your heart on the work of God? And will you be willing to serve Him with everything you've got? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, I desire with all my heart to hear the weeping and the shouting for changed lives. I desire to hear the great work being done for You and the people making decisions, Lord. I want that to be done. Lord, I want to see the miracles. I'm not willing to walk another step without seeing miracles. I'm not willing, Lord, to not have Your power. I'm not willing to walk another day. Lord, please come down in a special way tonight. Lord, I've given this message to You. It may not be popular, but Lord, I've given it to You. You've got to work here. It's got nothing to do with me. Lord, I thank You. I thank You so much for calling me to preach. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I'm not worthy. But Lord, through You, I am worthy to preach Your word. Lord, please help me. Help me to continue on for You. Help me to work hard for You. And Lord, get in the hearts of Bethel Baptist Church. I believe this with all my heart, Lord. I believe that we are supposed to be the bright and shining light for this state. I believe that. And although we may not see it now, there's going to be a day when we weep. And there's going to be a day when we shout because You have done a great miracle here. Please get this in the hearts of the people that their lives may become a great miracle for You. That if their foundation has crumbled, that You would help them build it up again. if they've ran out of materials, Lord, that they'll go back to you for material. And Lord, that they'll keep praying to you to have you complete the job. Lord, help us to seek you today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Let's all stand. Maybe you want to pray about something. I'm really excited. While he was preaching, the Lord showed me something that was always in front of me. Deacons, I want all my deacons to be at this church. I know some of you work, but if you could be here at 6:30, I want to talk to the deacons about something very special for our church. 6:30 Wednesday. If you can be here 6:30 Wednesday in my office, Evangelist Black, if he's not booked, I want him to be there. Brother Mark wants you also. While I was sitting there, Ruthie, God showed me something for our building. By the way, Dr. Howes always taught me, once you get an idea, start writing it down. And as I wrote, then God spoke to me and showed me something. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm not going to say a word to you tonight. All I can tell you is that I know God just talked to me. The Lord spoke to me about how we can start to build and not borrow any money. I said, oh, dear God, you're so good. Maybe there's something in your life you'd like to pray about. You just come right now. Brother Mark, lead us in a song.